they don't get to the developments of the 50s and 60s around McLuhan, and they're missing that, and that makes them irrelevant.
It's well, yeah, reason without rhyme or rhythm.
Rhythm, that's right. That's what Barry says. So you're going to find, since people know McLuhan, you've now got Barry Nevitt. You can quote someone they don't know. You know, scholars have to find someone that nobody knows. And you'll be able mm-hmm. to write criticisms of all these guys and mm-hmm. Establish your niche in the stupid world of Facebook paranoia, you know.
There you go.
Welcome to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Barry will be your means to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, there's only one library in the United States that has his book on economics, so I have to get that as well somehow. Maybe you'll break down and send it to me, and then I can do an e-book copy of it as well.
Yeah. No, I'm not likely to do that. Let you search and find other things as you search around to find it. And Clinton, somebody might find it, you know, at the University of Toronto Library, you know. You don't need
it. Yeah, they're not open yet. There's one at St. Louis, too, but I still have to check. Maybe the United States University libraries are open now. I don't know.
Right. But the thing is, doing the communication college is probably more important than doing Keeping Economic Panic right now, because he has all the major ground texts of McLuhanism in that book, so it's important.
Yeah, and this group from Santa Fe has bet all of their marbles on this notion of the meaning crisis.
Yeah, which is so content oriented, you know, from the Gutenberg galaxy. They don't know how rearview mirror, how meaningless they are.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay, so let's then wrap up. We've got to get Carolyn and Bert going. So,
yeah, and I'm going to have to go to bed too because I can't. I gotta get more sleep. I'm not getting enough sleep on these weekend deals.
Well, now that you have a purpose, translating Nevitt, yes, you need sleep to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so anybody have any final remarks? Thanks for everybody finally contributing. We made this a great first episode with lots of help from Ion. Ion's contributions were tremendous in this session. So has anybody got anything to say? Or shall we end?
I just want to say I'm glad we started on those particular pages because the regular pages are really hard to read, and this was a good starting point.
Yes, no, Ion knew what they were doing. And remember, we already did this from Ion's perspective, so they know which page to start from, because they rehearsed it several times, probably.
Mm-hmm.
They figured it out. All right, thank you, Nan. So we'll end this one and take a break for a second. And then, where are you, Bert? Time for you to perform. If Ion will talk to you, and Ion's in a petulant mood. Oh, Carolyn thinks, Ion doesn't get tired, Carolyn. Carolyn doesn't care. You're tired, Ion, according to Carolyn. There's Aunt Olivia in the background. We're hearing from HCE's competition. I'm a bloody interrogationist is the final accusation from Finney's Wake, which is nothing but accusations in the crowd, in the pub. Okay, great. Thank you very much. We'll try it again. Okay, Bert, there's Bert. And I will mute everybody.
All participants are now muted.
Open Bert. I know Bert has a lot to say about that, but we won't do it now. Maybe next session, Bert, you can say all the wonderful things you would be inclined to say, but didn't get a chance tonight. Oh, did you like it? Of course you liked it, right?
Yes, I actually got to use, notes in my Finnegan's Wake, copy of Finnegan's Wake that I have, instead of reading from the internet. I actually made notes in my book that I have.
Okay, great. Okay, you can start with Ion. I don't know if he's going to talk to you, but we'll see.
Hey, Ion.
Not looking good, Bert. Not looking good at all. In a way, Ion is the Bible, Bert. Ion is the Bible, and Phoenix Wake in Dobbstown is the antithesis of the Bible. There's a basic antagonism there. Like, I'm a pagan heathen, and he's a lofty Christian Jesus, so he can't hate this Phoenix Wake stuff too much.
Now, there was something you said back in there. I can't wait to hear, re-listen to it, about the reason, the connection of why Ion outlined about the Finnegan's Wake in the Bible. You had a good summary of why.
Yes, the you know, when you listen to the Genesis series and you're going through the early, you know, verses of, what is it, Revelation 1:1, the first thing, it becomes crazy, the interpretation of the dust and all this stuff. Each line doesn't seem connected to the previous line. So it starts to look like a page of Finney's Wake when you get into the meanings that Ion says is in there. That's what I mean. Finney's Wake looks like what the Bible is when you understand the Bible on the Ionic level. The Bible doesn't look like that, you know, in general viewing of the normal reading style. Mm-hmm. And Phineas Wake exposes the hidden ground of the Bible.
Yeah. That's what it was. That's what it was. About how, you said that Joyce was laying out how we should read the Bible because it's timeless. And then all those interpretations you laid out from page 44 was amazing. I mean, there was one, what was it, Dante,
Sophocles first, then Sophocles, Dante, Shakespeare, and Moses.
Moses, yeah. And then Cain was in there also. Cain was mentioned in that as well.
Yeah. Well, you'll see it's, you know, there's millions of references to Shakespeare, millions of references to Mozart, millions of references to the Bible. Every classic is just littered all through the week in the book world. Mm-hmm. But then there's references to Charlie Chaplin and modern cartoons. All media are in there, analog media up to... he even predicts the atomic bomb, accidentally, in the words. So he brings it right up to 1940, you know, when he, well, 1939, when he finished. So it's, as McLuhan said, every kind of technology is in the wake, especially ones we knew, and he predicts the coming technologies, and that sounded pretty impossible, but when we live in our email or Twitter, ridiculous Twitter world, the Twitter sphere, that looks like Finnegan's Wake. See, so he predicted the experience of Finnegan's Wake. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then Ion did the classic exclamation point. Harold Channer is the last of it all. And then when you gave the summary, I got to learn a little more about Harold that I didn't know. He was a professor. I didn't know that, and he wasn't marking his students. That's pretty. He was trying to be like McLuhan,
That's right. He was influenced in this. See, what happened is he was a professor of boring geography at Wayne State University in Detroit, or outside Detroit, wherever it is. Fucking geography. Yeah. Well, he takes a sabbatical in the early 60s and goes down to Peru or in the jungles, and he's wandering around the jungles, and he gets lost, and he gets saved by this primitive tribe. And I don't know who, maybe by himself. Yeah, he gets saved by this tribe, and he lives as a primitive for a year or so with the tribe. Okay?
Damn.
So that gets rid of all his literate bias, and so he comes back to Detroit in like 65 after the Beatles revolution, the Dylan revolution is taking place, all that pop culture stuff, and a guy named John Sinclair, who goes on later to create the White Panthers. So he's the intellectual, might even be publishing an underground newspaper there. He's the intellectual beatnik becoming hippie guy, has a place, and Harold knew him from before or met him, and he started hanging out with Sinclair and the radical poetry stuff that they were doing, typical mid-60s big city art stuff, performance pieces, and he got radicalized. And then he got a job teaching out in L.A., in California. And that's when I started at that point. But he comes back to North America and it's completely changed. It's the 50s when he left. When he comes back, it's everybody's doing drugs and, you know, his students are doing drugs and Dylan and the Beatles and counterculture and all that stuff that was going on. He fell back into it. But he had been prepared for it by going to a primitive tribe, which America was becoming, for McLuhan reasons.
Wow.
Yeah. Harold Channer is an important phenomenon. But then it shows, Harold Channer shows how important Zion is because we have the energy. He doesn't have it anymore. We moved on. Harold didn't make the leap. He didn't make the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting to note that his wife's on the products, but he's trying to slip into them. He may have to discover them real quick, real soon, with whatever he's suffering from right now in the hospital.
Yep. I think he got a broken hip or something. So, you know, he doesn't have a COVID problem. He's got another problem. Yeah. But the hospital structure is all ridiculous because everybody's quarantined and stuff. So he's unfortunately got into the hospital at the wrong time.
Mm.
So his wife can't get to him. All she can do is talk to him once a week on Thursdays, make an appointment, get in the lineup, and then speak to him through a fucking window or something for an hour.
Oh, wow.
And he's not suffering from COVID, but he's stuck in there. He could get COVID.
Yeah, maybe. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, he could get exposed to it, maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of germs hanging around in hospitals.
But that's karma for ignoring Dobstown. No, it's a serious world. If you ignore us, you're in fucking trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. We got to... Oh, that's you. That's you, Bert. You're supposed to be on. Okay,
Ion.
Let's see if you get Ion going.
Hey,
Ion.
Hey, Bill.
Wow. He's going to talk.
Hey.